This episode of Start From Scratch is sponsored by Akilah Waldron, CPA. You need to get your taxes done? Do me a favor. Give her a call at 919-665-5305. Akilah Waldron has been doing my taxes for some years. She's a personal accountant. She does business tax, payroll, accounting, anything involving money, Akilah got you. When you do call her up and you need to use her services, just use the code name Kurt to get a discount. Yeah, you heard me. Use the code name Kurt to get a discount. Again, give Akilah Waldron a call. 919-665-5305. You don't have to be there in her face to get your taxes done. You can just fax over the paperwork, scan it, email it, do something. As long as you get your paperwork to her, she'll fix it up. She'll do what needs to be done. She'll send it everything back to you, and she's going to invoice you too. But you want to get a discount? Again, use the code name Kurt. Akilah Waldron, CPA. Give her a call. Stop playing. Start From Scratch. I'm Kurt Sparks. Greetings and salutations to all. Huge shout out to my current president, Barack Obama. Barack Obama gave a beautifully orchestrated farewell speech last night. It was just so dope. Like, I'm pretty sure if this man could take on another 4 years, he probably would. But then again, maybe not. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of hard work. President-elect Trump, he has a lot of shoes to fill, because Obama cleaned up the bullshit that Bush left behind. Now, in my personal opinion, Obama made it very easy for Trump to come in and to continue what he started. Will Trump do that? I don't know. Because before he got to be president-elect, he was talking a lot of shit. And like my man says, perception is everything. It'd be a miracle if Trump was to sit in office and turn things around and do the opposite of what he said he was going to do. I mean, for the greater good of America, of course. But we'll see. We'll see. I got people unfollowing me on Twitter, because every chance I get, I'll talk shit about Trump, and I'll still big up my current president, Barack Obama. Did you see last night how Barack shouted out his beautiful wife in a speech? He said, "Michelle, for the past 25 years, you've been not only my wife and mother of my children, you have been my best friend. You took on a role you didn't ask for and made it your own with grace and grit and style and good humor. You made the White House a place that belongs to everybody, and a generation sets its sights higher because it has you as a role model. So you have made me proud, and you have made the country proud." Michelle Obama, she stood by her man before he became president, was like, "Yo, B, I don't know if this is going to work." But he made it happen. President Obama then tweeted out, "Thank you for everything. My last ask is the same as my first. I'm asking you to believe not in my ability to create change, but in yours." I'm going to tell you what I like about Obama. He wanted to do something. He made it happen. It was no excuses. If that is not an inspiration to everyone that's out there, do it. You got to do it. You got to get up off your ass and just do it. There's no excuses. None. You want to see the whole speech? YouTube it. If it doesn't inspire you, then something's wrong with you, B. I was never into politics. Politics and religion, I stay out of, because you can keep talking forever. But something told me to watch this farewell speech last night, and damn it, it was good. It was very good. Very good. The way it should be. Again, greetings and salutations to still my current president, Barack Obama, his wife Michelle, and their children's. Barack got the dopest job ever. Let me tell you why. This is why you need to follow in Barack Obama's footsteps. He had a job as president for 8 years, right? Now that the presidency is over, it's time for him to move on. Barack Obama got the best job in America. You know why? Because he gets unemployment while he's out of work. That just goes to show you, having a temp job is not such a bad thing. Because when you commit yourself to one job for many years, when you retire, you look it. Especially if it's a stressful job. Oh my God. You're going to look the part. You're going to say to yourself, the fuck? What was I doing? I mean, I know I get vacations and days off and time off, but damn, look at how I look. You got to ask yourself that question, B. What you going to be doing? If you don't like your job, follow your passion, right? But temping is the way to go. Barack already showed us. He did 8 years. Now he got the rest of his life to live and just chill. You know I'm not lying. Moving forward, I didn't see any wild activity going on in my backyard. But bust it, the snow was melted, right? And we got grass and dirt back there. I can't tell now if any wild animals are going to be in the backyard. I sat downstairs last night, though. Anytime I heard a little noise, I was at the blinds. Let me see what's going on. I heard a noise over here. Open up the blinds. What's going on? I ain't see nothing. The noise that I did hear was snow falling from the roof into the ground. So I'm not going to be looking for any wild animals anymore. Unless it snows. If it snows and I see it in the tracks, BB gun going to be in effect, B. I'm going to tell you something else that's funny, right? So Alexa Sky, I don't know who this girl is, but I've seen people like repost pictures of her on Instagram, right? Alexa Sky apologizes over leaked Fetty Wap sex tape. Alexa Sky, I have a few questions. One, why would you and Fetty Wap want to record yourselves having sex? Fetty, this question goes for you too. Question number two. How does tapes leak? I could understand if somebody breaks in your home and they steal it and they happen to play the tape. Oh shit, this is Alexa Sky with Fetty Wap. If they want the tape back, let them pay for it. If not, we're going to put it out there. We're going to hold the tape for ransom. If they don't give us our demands, then we're going to put it out there. That's how sex tapes get leaked. Something just don't sound right. All right? Something don't sound right. She apologizes over leaked sex tape with Fetty Wap. How does a sex tape get out there? How? Something just don't seem right. Kim Kardashian is very, very famous. Very famous. Okay? Her tape was leaked because, from what we understand, she did not want the tape getting out there. Who spoke with Alexa Sky about the tape not getting out there? I woke up this morning, put on my laptop. Next thing you know, Alexa Sky sex tape. What? Sex tapes don't get leaked. Nowadays, you put it out there. Nowadays, it's not even a legitimate excuse. Oh my God, someone got into my phone, or they hacked my email and leaked my sex tape. It's put out there purposely, people. Let's just cut the bullshit. It's put out there purposely. Let me stand politically corrected. I'm not saying Alexis did it, because I don't want no trouble. I want no trouble. However, how does a sex tape get leaked? And you know they got it all over the internet, right? The tape shows Alexis giving fellatio to her then boyfriend, Fetty Wap. I was listening to The Breakfast Club this morning, and they were saying, like people were saying, especially females, they were saying, yo, she gives whack fellatio. Alexis took to Instagram to say, all of this is so crazy and embarrassing to think somebody would want to expose my personal life. With the world is so disgusting, but I have faith in God's work and I know I'm covered. Sorry to all my family, friends, and supporters for this. Sorry to all my family, friends, and supporters for this. That always seemed to be the cliche excuse. Sorry to my friends and family and supporters for all of this. Meanwhile, you sitting back waiting for your email to go off and your phone to go off to see who's going to offer a deal for the full complete tape. Cut the bullshit. Please. Cut it. I can leak a sex tape out and people are going to be like, so? But because it's Alexa Sky and Fetty Wap, oh, it makes a big difference. You know people going to want to see it. I don't give a fuck about seeing it. But you know people going to want to see it. The nosy masses, they're going to want to see the tape. And of course, you're going to release this tape to the highest bidder. Hell, you might even cut Fetty Wap in on the deal and say, look, baby, listen, I'm sorry. I just spoke to you first. I'm sorry. But this is how much money we can make from it. What do you think? That's what the hell's going to happen. You can't pull a wool over our eyes, baby girl. We already know what it is. We know what it is. So stop with the leaked sex tape thing, okay? Stop with the fake statements. Oh my God. I apologize to my friend, my family, and supporters. All right, whatever. Like, we get it. If you're interested, you can go anywhere online. I'm not going to shout anybody out, but you can go anywhere online and you can watch this shit. You know, I don't care. I really don't care. Like, whatever. I guess that's supposed to be the new trend, sex taping. I mean, it's not really a trend. It's been out for a while. But I know when I was growing up, a sex tape was a sex tape. It was like, oh, shit. That's such and such from the other building. That was a sex tape. Because they didn't know. Now both parties know, and it's like, wow. And Masika, Fetty Wap's daughter's mom, she tweeted out, bitches want to be Kim K so bad, shaking my fucking head. Masika, you hit that right on the nose, baby girl. Yeah. Everybody want to be a star, sex tape star. Anyway, let me shut my mouth because Jasmine Duke is up next. I'll see y'all in a bit.
Well, good morning, Mr. Sparks.
Hey, Ms. Duke, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm chilling. I'm trying to get my voice back. I'm still working on that, you know.
Still working it. I think it's, you know, this weather has just been like hell on my everything. I'm really done with it, actually.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I ain't ready for the summer just quite yet, but I mean, all the snow and all that, chill with the snow. I don't feel like shoveling.
Well, it is 50 today, so that's nice.
Yeah, hell yeah, and the snow melted too. Like, my neighbors were mad at me. I ain't really, like, shovel or nothing like that. I don't care. I was being lazy. Who cares? Because they got a snow blower, and our house is on the corner, and
you're not,
it's like...
You know, I'm being very neighborly.
Nah, I don't care. I mean, nah. I did shovel a little bit yesterday, and I put some salt down, and that was it. Other than that, nah. Like, for the last couple of days, after it snowed Saturday, I didn't do anything. I just let the snow just sit there. That's it.
Such a dick move, but whatever works for you.
Yeah, I act like a dick. I don't care. Anyway, what's going on with you?
Well,
welcome back.
It melted, to be fair. Yeah, thank you. I'm back in New York, so that's okay. I mean, I haven't done anything since I got back. I've mostly just been writing and hanging out in the house waiting for it to get above 30.
Okay. I got you. I mean, does it feel funny to be back? Like you wish you was back in Minnesota?
That's a fair question. I'm not exactly sure. I think I'm going through a bit of a, like, 30-year-old transition. I think most people hit 30 and they have, like, a big revelation. And I didn't at 30, but my, you know, being 31, I've had more kind of, like, middle-of-life crisis moments. And it does make me wonder if, you know, living away from my family in New York is really worth it when, you know, all my family is in Minnesota, plus the prices to live here, plus... I think I should have traveled to a warmer climate this winter so that I wasn't so exhausted of being cold at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Because right now, my daughter and nieces, they're in Puerto Rico chilling. And I'm jealous.
Right. So that's, I was actually looking, I didn't realize how inexpensive it is to travel to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. and it's beautiful too. So it's like you get like a great deal. It's not expensive. The climate is hot. It's nice. It's just beautiful. Cuba's going
to
be next.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking a small trip to Puerto Rico, actually, either the end of this month or the first week of February.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Puerto Ricans, that is that. I mean, Puerto Rico just makes me want to go to all these outlying islands like Cuba, Panama. I don't know about Honduras. Honduras is pretty horrible. But I want to go to like some of these other islands like DR. I want to go to some of these other islands and like really soak up the culture. It just looks beautiful. Yeah. So,
I think DR sounds good. Yeah, Honduras, I feel like you have to know people who live there. I know friends who are Honduran and have family there, and they have a great time. But outside of that situation, I don't know
how fun
the trip would be.
Yeah, you definitely got to be careful in Honduras, because I was watching CNN, and boy, oh boy, they said the violence is crazy. Especially if you're out of town.
Well, people are going to Cuba like crazy. I've got a lot of friends who have gone. You know, you have to have special... there's a special amount of paperwork to go to Cuba, though, because you're not allowed to just quote-unquote tourist there.
Oh, so I don't know about Cuba now.
You have to be going for a reason. Yeah, so don't just book a Cuba vacation, by the way. It's not like just traveling to another country. You actually need to look into I think there are 7 acceptable reasons for you to be in Cuba. And one of them can be, like, research. But then there's an amount of paperwork and there's an amount of things that you have to do while there in order for your trip to be approved. Otherwise, they'll send you home.
I mean, what if I was to tell them I want to go see the former home of Celia Cruz? Like, you think they'll let me do that? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, it just depends. You have to look. There's a whole... Actually, I've got a couple friends who've done this now, and there's, like, websites dedicated to... you know, what documentation you've got to bring and what what you can say you do. People are definitely going there just for tourist reasons.
Right.
You just got to know, how to set that up the right way. They don't want their culture disturbed, and I think that makes sense because they're, one of the only areas so far that hasn't been highly exposed to Western culture or affected by us. And
right.
They're not trying to open the doors and ruin all that so fast.
But they're dumb. Because if you let people from everywhere else get into Cuba, then they could spend money in Cuba. Like, I don't know, whatever.
Well, yeah, but we have a very significant influence on the world. And that's part of why, people that live in the United States are flocking to Cuba, is because they've essentially preserved a time that no longer exists anywhere else.
Whatever. Screw Cuba for now. What you got going on?
Maybe it's not true, Cuba. Maybe you could just do a little extra research before you try to go over there to their country.
As you can see, I'm pissed off now. Like, you can't just go into Cuba. Now I'm pissed off. I don't even want to talk about Cuba no more. That's it.
It's over. It's finished.
That's it. I'm finished. What's going on with you? What are we talking about today? What's happening?
All right. So, considering everything that's happening, current state in the news, I thought it would be timely today to speak of... the repeal of Obamacare.
Okay.
And also talk a bit about Planned Parenthood. And, I think we all hear the words being thrown around a lot lately, especially in headlines, repeal Obamacare, defund Planned Parenthood. I thought we could have a conversation around what those terms and headlines actually mean. I mean, it's a little heavy, but I thought, why not? So I saw a headline recently, and it was... a social network post that someone had made, and they were cheering for, we're so close to repealing Obamacare, like this is so good for our country. And someone then commented on their post and said, I think this is bullshit that you're cheering for this. I need that health care, and there are millions of us in the United States who need that health care.
Right.
And the person then who originally made the post responded back and said, no, I'm not turning up my nose at you at all. I'm on state health care myself, but I'm on the Affordable Health Care Act, which is what they had to create to fix Obamacare. Now, do you know why that's a super flawed statement? The problem with the statement is that Obamacare is a nickname for the Affordable Health Care Act.
Okay. Right, I remember that.
So that person who is on the Affordable Health Care Act, right, that's how they're getting their health insurance, and is cheering for the repeal of Obamacare is actually cheering for the repeal of their own health care. So the nickname Obamacare is arguable about why we have a nickname for a health care system in the United States. I think the short answer to that is we have a nickname for it because it's not uncommon for us to give nicknames, you know, to things with right. the person who spearheaded it. So, okay. you know, you've got this idea of Obamacare floating around when in reality, you know, everything that lives on our books isn't actually called Obamacare. And there's arguments that go back and forth over whether, you know, when these nicknames are created, it's in an attempt to demonize or make something bad. Because mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to say, well, Obamacare is, you know, terrible and it's been really bad. And then what you do is you also move a base of people who already don't like Obama.
Right.
And they're taking the negative connotation that they've already assigned with him. And then they're attaching it to, in this case, this Affordable Health Care Act. Whereas if you said something like, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act is terrible, it's failing people, that gives people a different vantage point, not only on understanding, you know, that now it just sounds like something from our government, not attached to a certain political figure. And in addition, it makes it easier for people to do research and know what you're talking about. So in essence, you know, I don't have any personal like conspiracy theories over, you know, if Obamacare is a way to prevent the public from understanding what's actually happening with their benefits. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is, especially for this Republican platform that just voted in Trump, I mean, we're looking at the states with the heaviest votes for him in office are actually the states who need the Affordable Health Care Act the most. And he ran on a platform of getting rid of it, and they voted for him.
Well, what I don't understand is why, like, the Republican Party now would they're working real hard to try to go ahead and just remix this whole thing that's going to work in their favor. Like, why don't you just leave it alone or just make minor changes to it? Why you got to just try to wipe it out and start all over?
Well, because remember what it's really about. It's never really been about the care for people. And I think that especially when it comes to the Republican Party, I mean, they are famous for cutting social programs. They are famous for trying to get rid of things, you know, programs that support low-income people, programs that support immigrants. That's been their platform for a really long time is, you know, well, we don't need these social programs, and if we got rid of them, people would, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And this idea of quote-unquote the welfare mom and all of these people are taking advantage of food stamps when food stamps is actually one of the most highly governed and restricted social programs our nation offers.
I wish I can get it. Shit. But, you know.
Right. Well, and if you put people in a position where they simply can't survive, where they can't make enough money, that's the other, you know, thing that people don't want to talk about is people who are on social programs actually are employed people.
Yeah.
The lion's share of people taking advantage of social programs are also people who work full time. So it's not like the, you know, lion's share of these people are sitting at home scratching their asses. People are working hard. People are willing to get out there and to work for money. But the way we're set up systematically is there are just some people who aren't going to be able to make enough money to afford themselves, let alone, you know, throw in children or an emergency happens to their family. You know, you get $5,000 behind on something, all of a sudden that destroys your life.
Yeah, it's not really set up. It's not really set up for you to like survive until it's more so like, okay, you do this on your own first. And if you need help, we're going to give you help, but we're going to give you a hard time before we give you help. And that's so whack.
Well, I think, and also as, you know, Americans, the thing that I appreciated about Obama's speech yesterday was his push to make us accountable for not only our responsibility, but the changes that we want to see as citizens. And I think even for myself, as I look back on the last 8 years that he's been in office, I'm disappointed in myself because once he got elected, we all just chilled until it was time to vote for him again. And then we all just chilled again. And yeah. And we could have gotten so much more done
yeah.
had we had the spirit and the willingness to work and to fight and to turn out for voting and all that, that, you know, I'm watching people, especially, you know, people who support the Democratic Party are enraged and willing to work right now. And Obama didn't have that from the citizens. Obama had, okay, you're in office now, make things happen, we'll be at home. And that sucks for him. We could have done a lot more had we had the spirit of fight that we had today during his entire presidency.
Well, you know, it's very cliche. Like, you always realize what you have when it's gone. So that, you know.
Well, I think that's our thing, too, is we're moderately happy. Like, Americans are happy enough. And so we don't revolt, we don't revolution, we don't fight. We, you know, I mean, my preference would be to get up and go to my job or, you know, build my businesses. Like, I don't want to spend the next 4 years in a revolution. If I have to, I will.
Right.
But ideally, I think most of us want to live, you know, on our own terms and working on whatever is making us happy versus, you know, constantly having to be a political activist just to get basic rights.
We got the next 4 years to see what's going on. Obama's most definitely going to be missed. You know what my take on this whole thing with Trump? He probably talked so much shit to get into office. It's like, is he going to really follow through on it? That's what I'm interested in seeing, to be honest with you.
Well, and I think, you know, people say that a lot, or they say like, well, let's give him a chance and see. And let me tell you why that's... We already know what he's going to do because of the cabinet he stacked around him. Mm-hmm. Paul Ryan has been trying to get rid of Obamacare since it started.
He's a dick.
So disassembling, you know, everything that's happened with the Affordable Health Care Act, Paul Ryan is going to handle that. Pence is going to make sure, you know, the Planned Parenthood and reproductive rights thing, it sets us back as many years as he can. Paul Ryan is in on that as well. So it's not even so much at this point what Trump will do as much as he's stacked people around him who hold those same, you know, quote unquote values. I don't believe in any way that Trump actually holds these values personally for himself. Mm-hmm. I guarantee he's got a shitload of mistresses who've had abortions and everything else.
Right.
But it's the people that he's now put around him who have long-standing political histories of doing things against the interests of the people. Because the other thing that comes with cutting the Affordable Health Care Act is Medicaid.
Right.
And I actually recently started doing a lot of research on this because I started to feel very ignorant about, you know, what is Medicare? What is Medicaid? Like, what are all these things? Because for me, I have very good health insurance through my day job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not on any kind of state, you know what I mean? I don't have a lot of visibility into what these different things are because, praise God, I've never had to rely on them. So I started doing the research, and Medicaid is essentially just like health insurance for low income. We could just blanket statement. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what that is. There's also a section of that who services children.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the healthcare for children is also a very big thing that I think we don't talk about enough, especially as we talk about, you know, a new regime who wants to not let women have contraceptives and not let women have abortion. Because if you cut abortion, you cut birth control, and then you force us to have children, and then there's no Medicaid, what happened to those children?
I'm going to tell you what's funny about Medicaid, too. You can't easily get Medicaid when you're married because what they do is they put your spouse's income, they factor all that in, and they're like, well, look, your spouse can take care of you. Even though you got other bills and things that have to be done or paid, they're like, nah, this person can take care of you. We out of here. That's it. Which is so fucking whack.
Minnesota, actually, so where I'm from in Minnesota, I know a lot of families who've decided to postpone marriage because if you're a single mom in Minnesota, they will take care of you, not only health care, but your kids' health care. Mm-hmm. And even in some situations, they'll pay for your college.
Yeah, we need
but
that.
But as soon as you get married, it's that all of it ends. But, you know, if you and your spouse make 50, 60 grand together, which so many couples in the United States, that's not a reality for, you know, you're not going to be able to easily afford health care for yourself, let alone your family.
Right, exactly.
On top of, to your point, your mortgage, do you know what I mean? Car payments, something comes up, your kidney braces, like, you're not going to be able to survive.
Exactly. That's why you see people are definitely uprooting to parts of the U.S. where it's not so expensive. They're not comfortable with the way they're living, because let's say, like, you leave a fast-paced New York to go to a small town in Kansas, it's like, well, shit, I don't want to be here, but this is the only thing I could afford for right now.
But yeah, financially. And, well, we've got cities also around the United States, like a New York or like a San Francisco, where prices are just absolutely astronomical and for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, New York's prices are straight inflation.
Exactly.
There's no reason in the world. I mean, my taxes last year, my taxes are already disgusting. I just give them to my CPA. I look at them the one time when they're done, make sure everything is good, and then I just close them away and don't look at them again, because the amounts that come out of my check, since I don't have kids, you know, I'm unmarried, I don't own a home. But I also get additional tax for living in Manhattan.
That's crazy. That is so crazy.
So on top of all the other taxes I'm already paying, then they throw an additional tax on top of that just because I reside in Manhattan. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? My rent is astronomical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, really?
You're right. That's why they say everybody's uprooting and going to the Bronx. Like, the Bronx has not been gentrified just yet. But there are sections of the Bronx where it's just like strictly Italians or strictly Jewish. But you can still find a hole in the wall in the Bronx and you still be all right. But like you said, in Manhattan, yeah, they charge an arm and a fucking leg. Like, you definitely come out of pocket.
Yeah, crazy here.
So,
which I'm still, don't get me wrong, I'm glad I did it. I came here for the experience.
Right.
I knew what the prices were, and I'm happy I did this. And I'm by no means done with Manhattan, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, to think about what you're paying for, I mean, you're truly paying for an inflated idea of a location. That's mm-hmm. that's essentially what you're paying for.
Pretty much.
That's the excuse for the prices here. So the other thing I wanted to talk about while we're together is Planned Parenthood. Because the other big thing that's running around right now, you know, in headlines, other than Trump supposedly hiring prostitutes to pee on a bed the Obama slept on.
Golden. That was the hashtag yesterday, too. Golden shower.
Holy cow. is the defunding of Planned Parenthood. So I think, and first of all, let's just talk about, like, how Planned Parenthood gets their money. So first of all, Planned Parenthood is a private business, which means that even if the government never gives another shiny nickel to Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood still stands. We could still fund it with private money.
Right.
That would be significantly harder,
mm-hmm.
Just based on, you know, the financial input that they need to continue the work that they do, but we could. The only way for a Planned Parenthood to be shut down would be one, like, financial bankruptcy, or two, if, like, let's say they banned abortion, they reversed Roe v. Wade, whatever. But even in that case, the lion's share of Planned Parenthood services is actually not abortion.
How do they get funded?
So Planned Parenthood actually gets funded through two different entities. So there's an amount that the federal government pays under the guise of family planning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's granted, I believe, to multiple organizations. Planned Parenthood is one of them.
Okay.
The biggest portion of money that they get is actually through Medicaid.
Okay.
So what, like, happens is,
that's like two government subsidiaries then.
Well, but the Medicaid is for services rendered.
Okay.
So it's like any other health insurance. So if I'm low income and let's say I need, because their biggest services provided are cancer screening, STD testing, STD treatment, pap smears, and like mammograms.
Okay.
So their biggest services are and contraceptives.
Mm-hmm.
So, and birth control. So, but the biggest thing that they're doing, like, their business runs on preventative services for men and women, mostly women.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, cancer screening, STD testing, you know, mammograms, pap smears, birth control. So what happens is, if I'm someone who can't afford, you know, health insurance, and so I'm on a Medicaid, I go into Planned Parenthood, I get the services that I need. Planned Parenthood then bills Medicaid, and Medicaid pays out for that service. So that is the biggest percent of government funding that they get, but it is directly tied to people and services rendered. There's actually a law on our books from, I believe, 76 that prevents federal funding going towards abortion. So none of your federal tax dollars is paying for abortion. People are already paying for that out of pocket.
Okay, so the federal tax dollars is not going into abortion. Isn't that a good thing? I'm not saying that, like, personally for me, but isn't it a good thing on a spectrum?
I think it depends. I personally think that if you are a woman, I don't think it's the government's fucking business why you're choosing to move forward with a pregnancy or not.
Right.
I think when we open up that slippery slope of women having to explain themselves, you know, I was raped, this is a product of incest, like, whatever, to get an abortion, we just open up a whole can of worms that are in our country already can't, like, manage sexual assault and protect women well anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't think opening up a can of worms of making women explain why they don't want to have a child is actually helpful for us as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's this big myth running around that our federal tax dollars are going towards abortion, and that's completely false.
Well, people can't read that as not. Like, the information is not publicly out there for anyone to achieve it. I mean, retrieve it.
Oh, it is. It totally is.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All of this information I have is just because I research and I read stuff all the time. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a politician. I don't work for Planned Parenthood. Like, it's just because I took the time to read it. But again, you know, our news and things are so convoluted that unless you take the time to go read something or to go hunt out this information, you wouldn't have it.
A lot of people don't read. I mean, if they do read, they're reading about Chris Brown, a Soulja Boy about to fight. That's what they're reading.
Yep. Well, and that's why I think it's really important for us to, you know, use platforms that we have to talk to people, because it's not just about, you know, oh, Planned Parenthood goes away, women can't get abortions. No. Planned Parenthood goes away, women and men in rural areas especially can't get access to healthcare services that they rely on.
Yep.
So if you're talking about something like a cancer screening, like, oh, okay, low-income people can't get cancer screening, but let's take it to something like HIV. Do we want people to not have access to healthcare when we just in recent history had an HIV outbreak in this country?
Yeah, but here's the thing about the platforms that we're using to get the word out. How many fucking people listen? If you're not posting up a certain picture for them to hit the link, and it's like they're not going to listen. Or if it's something that they don't want to hear, they're not going to listen, period. So it's like, we speaking on it is great, but how do we get the message out there? How do we get the word out there? Because again, people are more attracted to fuckery than what they should be listening to, or what they should be paying attention to. Like, how do we get it out there?
I think you're exactly right. I think we just keep saying it. I think we just keep talking about it, and we keep doing our best. My dad has always said, we can lead a horse to water, but we can't beat it over the head until it drinks.
Like,
and that's how I feel about people. Like, I'm happy to use whatever platform I have to share the education that I have, because I spend the time to do the research. I'm happy to give it, to share it, to write about it at any capacity. But yeah, I mean, if you want to live quietly and not educate yourself and not take messages, in a minute when things start to blow up or you lose your benefits, or, you know what I mean, you can't get access to healthcare, or something, God forbid, happens in this country where, you know, we've got more people dying on streets than already are, then
that's when everybody,
you know,
want to read. That's when everybody want to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they said this on Start From Scratch a while ago. That's when they want to pay attention. I pay attention to everything.
Well, and again, people go against their own interests all the time, and I think, you know, the most stark thing, well, I don't know if I can even say the most stark thing about this election for me, but the fact that the people who need these programs, including the Affordable Health Care Act, including things like food stamps, Medicaid, were the ones who largely voted for Trump and are such avid supporters. I mean, that just, it shows you not only do people not actually understand, but they're willing to vote against their own interests. And that, and I just, and I don't understand that. I don't understand the desire to vote against your own interests.
That's why I want to see this whole thing blow up in their face if he is going to fuck up. I definitely want to see that. Now, I was one that was speaking out against Trump all the time, like, he's a fucking asshole, he's this, he's that. But I started to see a change in him because, again, I'm going through my timeline on Twitter and I see people are saying, well, damn, Trump said he was going to do this, that, and the third, and he's not even doing it. Like, what's going on? So I guess this radical that everybody voted for and it was getting all riled up, now that he's been quiet and he's getting his cabinet together, it's like, well, damn, we thought you was going to set shit off immediately. They're not seeing that.
Right.
Well, in one instance, give it time.
Well, yeah, because he did it to move a voter base. He didn't do it because he believed it.
Exactly. Now, don't get me wrong. Still give it some time. He still may end up being the fuck up that he appeared to be, because like my man said, always say, it's all about who you're portraying to be, who people are seeing out there. That's who people are seeing, the asshole. That's who a lot of people voted for. But we still got to wait to see if he's actually going to start dispensing these assholes' ways about him. If not, then shit, then he done bamboozled all of us if he's going to do something different towards something positive. But again, I don't know. We have to see. We definitely have to see.
Yeah. I mean, I think he will fuck up. He will at some capacity, especially with the people he staffed around him, with his refusal to take intel briefings. I mean, he's essentially been an international nightmare for us since, you know, before he was named president-elect. He's ruining longstanding relationships we've had with countries. Like, I don't think the question is, will he fuck up? I think the question is, what will he fuck up? How bad will he fuck it up? And when?
Yeah, pretty much. So we got to just sit back
and then,
to lock
and then
thumbs.
What's the impact for us domestically? Because, and again, as Americans, we're so... we're so sheltered, and to an extent, that's amazing. You know, we don't have, you know, we have relatively low impact changes in office. You know, we've got, oh, health insurance prices skyrocketed, our gas prices goes up. Like, things like that are actually very low impact domestic matters compared to what some of the other countries go through when a president shifts. Like, could you imagine if someone legitimately tried to run a coup on, you know, our government, or people were burning down cities, or another country attacked us? Like, there are all these other realities of the world that the other countries have had to deal with that we largely just haven't. And praise God, because I don't want those kinds of problems.
Right.
So we'll just have to see what the severity. I think if we make it out of this with him fucking everybody's social benefits, and like that's the extent of it, I think we'll be very lucky, because we can recoup that, we can take care of our communities, we can step up and as citizens make sure that our people are taken care of. A government can't stop us from doing that.
Exactly. And the most importantly, try to find a way to still go to the doctor, still try to find a way to take care of yourself, because the way things are now, we don't know if it's going to get worse or if it's going to get, you know, better. But while you still have the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, use the hell out of it, because, again, we don't know if any changes are going to come.
Yeah, good. Well, and there's always going to be good people. There's, who's the, Mr. Rogers, he did the kids show and he had the sweaters and he changed his shoes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Mr. Rogers, yeah, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah, he has a quote that said, you know, he was talking to his mom about how scary the world was. And his mom agreed with him that, yeah, the world is scary, but if you look around, you'll see that there's always people doing good. Like, focus on those people. And I think, as, you know, uncertain as our times are right now, we're also in this place where people are standing up to help at a rate that I've never seen in my lifetime. And so as all of these changes are coming and things are feeling uncertain, like, communities are banding together. You know, people are willing to help, are willing to support. And so that is hugely positive, because I feel like no matter what, we'll survive this, because the citizens could always come together
Exactly. And
make something happen. We just haven't had the need to at this level.
This is true. This is very true. That's why we got to train the new generation coming up, help one another, support one another, and just Like, get rid of the fuckery. Fuckery is always going to be there, but try to get rid of it as much as possible. Be concerned with one another. Help one another.
Yeah, or at least know when the important things are. Like, yeah, you guys want to argue about Soulja Boy, Chris Brown. Like, yeah, let's like fight it out, you know, endlessly about that. But when it comes to your neighbor starving, or, you know what I mean, your neighbor is cold, or your neighbor's got evicted from their home, or that's when we need to start putting, you know, differences aside and arguments aside and start just taking care of humans.
Exactly. Ms. Duke?
Anything else?
Well, I have some things I want to talk about, but it could wait till next week because I don't want to ruin it with this, such a beautiful conversation we had today. So it could wait till next week.
Oh, so you got some fuckery that you want to talk about.
It ain't no fuckery. It's like somebody asked me, like, why would you want to talk about sex toys, for example, right? And I said, I wasn't doing it to be on some creep shit. I was being educated because, like, I told you before, it ain't my thing, but somebody else, I'm pretty sure we educated somebody on different sex toys and stuff like that. So I don't like bringing up the fuckery. I like talking about shit that's going to help educate myself, because there's things that I don't know and I'm going to ask questions. That's just that. So yeah, it could wait till next week. It's really no big deal. But this platform here, this platform here today was just beautiful. And again, I'm gonna promote the hell out of it. We just gotta get people to listen. That's it.
I will promote it on all my channels as well.
I'm talking about on an educated level, though. They need to really pay attention. It's like, if we ain't talking about sex, it's like, okay, they're not interested. And they're like, that's so whack. Listen to it from an educational standpoint.
But what's funny is that you took, so today, right, we're talking about a more quote-unquote, you know, educated topic, but a week ago we were talking about sex, and it gets backlash, right, either way. Because if we, like, this is the fine line I always have with thefemalecondition.com, is if I talk about serious political issues, it's like, you know, chill out.
Yeah, but sex, we were talking
but
about
it. But if I talk about sex toys, then it's like, well, why are you always talking about sex? Why don't you talk about the real issues?
It was on
why
the
is it so important
level
for you to talk about toys?
Man, fuck people. Like, it was on the educated level. Anything we discuss is definitely on some type of educated level. If you're not learning something from it, then you're in it for the creep part of it. And there ain't really no creep part of it. Like, we try to make it humorous as possible, but we're also, again, making it educational, in my opinion, in my eyes, so that whatever you didn't know yesterday, you know today. Whatever you didn't know an hour ago, you know this hour. That's just how I see it. Like, fuck it. That's it. But people are going to say what they
want to
say.
I want to talk about all aspects of being a woman. I don't want to talk about things because people find them to be, like, the pleasant things that they want to hear about. I want to talk about, you know, our health insurance. I want to talk about having better orgasms. I want to talk about dating. I want to talk about, you know, I want to talk about all of it. I don't want to snippet out the female experience in the world to be these appropriate things. I definitely want to dive into the shit that people are like, ooh, you shouldn't be talking about that.
Well, guess what? That's why we have freedom of speech. That's why this platform is here for you to say what the hell you have to say. They don't like it, fuck it. Don't listen. Listen somewhere else. But we're going to keep doing what the fuck we're doing. That's it. Damn it. Starting from scratch. Shit. Ms. Duke, thank you.